Welcome, everybody, to the Loudest Podcast, Loudest Podcast on the Internet. I'm your host, Asterios Kovnos. With us, as always, is Rancho.
Hello.
So, somebody just kind of opened a knockoff Simpsons-themed donut restaurant in Montreal. They called it Homer's Donuts. It's got like a picture of Homer Simpson on the front of it. Homer's Donuts is in the Simpsons font. And this place went viral on TikTok because everyone's like, oh my God, Homer's Donuts, isn't that fun? Isn't that fun? And it's like, you know, it's just like someone's knockoff pop-up bullshit. Like just someone wanted to open a donut store real quick.
Right. It's like stuff like this happens in New York all the time. It's like the dumb fucking Rick and Morty bar that's open for 1 week until it gets slammed down by the copyright people. Like Naruto Vapes, RIP.
Yeah. No one needs to get a bug up their ass about this. But guess who did get a bug up their ass about this? Nathan fucking Masri got a bug up their ass about this because Nathan Masri's like, oh no, you didn't license The Simpsons. You just opened up a donut store and you didn't license The Simpsons. And as we all know, EG's is all about no counterfeit, proper license. You're going against the EG's manifesto. And so now Nathan is narking on this place on Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah, he's like, he goes and he finds the donut store on Instagram and TikTok, and he tags a bunch of lawyers and like NBC and whoever the copyright holder for, is it NBC? The copyright holder for The Simpsons.
He's tagging Fox, he's tagging Disney, and he's like, hey, you guys need to shut this down. They are ripping you off.
And I thought it was particularly funny because in the tweet, he's like, this is definitely not licensed. I know that because I tried.
Yes, that was right. Nathan was like, you think you're the first person to think of a Homer Simpson's donut shop? I had this idea a long time ago, and I tried to license Homer Simpson, but I couldn't get the license to Homer Simpson, I assume because he couldn't afford it. And so he is so angry that there's like a new Canadian cartoon character themed restaurant that is not Garfield Eats, that he's trying to get this place shut down. He's narking on them up and down and left and right on the internet.
Right, because Nathan has no sense of creativity, so he has to outsource it. Because, like, look at Nathan's food. It was absolute fucking dog shit. Like, universally, everybody thought it was dog shit. At least these donuts look good. Yes. Like, they look like big, fat-ass, big-back donuts with cereal and shit on them, which is not my jam, but I mean, if you're into that.
And they have the pink donut with the sprinkles. They have the sprinkle-icious donut, the classic donut that you expect to have. This place makes sense, I think, is the other thing that really bothers Nathan. Because it's not like Homer's nachos. Yes, Homer enjoys nachos. In fact, he often calls himself the Nacho Man when he's wearing his nacho hat. But you, when you think of Homer, you think of donuts. I think that's what really bothers Nathan. Because he called it Garfield Eats. And only now does he realize that I was right the whole time, that it should have been Garfield's Lasagna.
He will never agree that you were right the whole time.
I feel like when he closes his eyes, he sees me saying, you're wrong. And he agrees with me as he falls off to sleep.
Here is a poll for you.
Okay.
We can take a bet.
Sure.
And the winner of the bet gets $20 to gamble at the casino.
Mm-hmm.
Will Nathan ever get to live somewhere outside of Dubai again?
Oh, no, no.
Because he's a massive embarrassment.
No, he's on the family compound now.
He definitely is. I watch his stories with great amusement. And is he always talking about like going to the mall and going shopping? It's like, yeah, this is what your family wants. Just stay in the compound, spend relatively less money. Like, I'm sure an occasional trip to Balenciaga is less than the cost of a penthouse in Toronto. And just please, for the love of God, stop posting animal porn, which I assume is illegal in the UAE.
You know, that actually kind of brings me up to the next Nathan topic. So Nathan, as you guys remember from a couple of weeks ago, he's like going on and on about like how Nickelodeon hurt these child actors because the TV show Quiet on Set is bringing attention to like the injustices at Nickelodeon. Another injustice, of course, being that they didn't let him renew the license to Garfield.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That's basically the same thing, right?
I mean, they're the exact same thing. They're synonyms of each other. It's like, you know, it's like holding up a mirror. Like, you, if both of them said to shoot the other one, you wouldn't know who to shoot on a rooftop.
Right.
If you catch my drift. So now Nathan is kind of like turned heel on Jim Davis?
No.
Which is interesting to me.
Top 10 anime betrayals.
Because he used to always be like, I am trying to protect the legacy of Jim Davis. I'm the only one that cares about Garfield. Jim Davis even made a video for me talking about my restaurant. And Nathan's always like, I met Jim Davis, Paws Inc., blah, blah, blah. And now Nathan's going online and he's just asking questions. One of those questions being, did Jim Davis know about all the bad stuff at Nickelodeon?
Did Jim Davis touch Garfield?
Did he know when he decided to sell the rights to Viacom Nickelodeon? Did Jim Davis maybe want to sell Garfield to like an entire network?
Sell
pedos?
Garfield?
So did he want to sell the rights to Garfield to pedos? Maybe he wanted to sell Garfield so Garfield could do some of those shows that they do in the Middle East.
Imagine Jim Davis putting Garfield in the cage and the new Garfield, the cute little Garfield, mm-hmm. the kitten Garfield in a cage and handing it over to like a group of pedophiles. Like with fangs and claws. Did Jim Davis do that? We don't have any evidence that he didn't.
And we're just asking questions.
These are just questions. This is not anything legally implicating. I'm just asking questions.
Inquiring minds want to know if Jim Davis sold Garfield down the river to be used at various shows. So, you know, so he's talking about Garfield and he's talking. And he also, he's tweeting, like a couple of days he tweeted, the world will not be the same after the solar eclipse. It is a message from the real creator, not Jim Davis.
Oh my God.
Which to me means that at one point he did have Jim Davis at the esteem of God, because he has to be falling from that height for this tweet to work.
It could also be a reference to Jeanette McCurdy's book. That's the nickname that she uses for Dan Schneider. She calls him the creator. So maybe Nathan is saying that Dan Schneider is God and Dan Schneider brainwashed Jim Davis to let him molest Garfield.
If Jim Davis is brainwashed, then none of this is his fault. He was brainwashed.
Well, maybe he was less brainwashed and more blinded by greed.
Oh, no!
And feet. And the slur of the smell of children's feet.
He's acting like this is the first time there's ever been an eclipse. Did you notice how weird this most recent eclipse was? Where everyone was like, this is it. This means the world is going to end. It's a sign from God that we must repent. As if we don't have one of these like eclipse things every 6 years.
Yeah, I swear. Didn't we just fucking have one like 4 years ago?
We just had one because I remember getting all these texts from people that were like, do you know where I can get eclipse glasses?
I do too.
Yes, it's so, all right. But anyway, so then someone responds to Nathan like, does Jim Davis know you're still using his intellectual property to act insane on the timeline?
Yeah, this is basically his alt account he has to use when he's in Saudi Arabia. Arabia and the UAE.
He tweets from Garfield Eats. And then the Garfield Eats account tweeted back, Jim knows there's even Garfield porn. Worse, Garfield licensees have been mistreated during Paramount acquisition, and Garfield deserves better. So this is Nathan saying that Jim Davis was well aware that there's Garfield porn out there and did nothing to stop it.
Oh my God, it just clicked together. They cast Chris Pratt in the role of Garfield. Chris, what is Chris Pratt's initials?
Oh my
God. Oh my fucking God.
Oh my God.
The evidence is mounting.
So, now of course, you and I both know that Nathan has made Garfield porn.
Yes.
Because there's a clip that we played of him violently tongue-kissing a giant 6-foot Garfield. The same one that one guest of ours tried to get, but he accidentally got a bunch of boxes of sand.
I remember that.
Yeah, exactly. So I tweeted back at Nathan. I was like, hey, I think I found the Garfield porn. Someone report this to Paws Inc. And it's Nathan kissing the Garfield. And then Nathan writes, you mean report it to Nickelodeon? And it's like, oh, okay, Nathan, yes, of course.
That too, yeah.
And then he goes, I'd rather screw a cartoon than a corrupt, sick human. Report Nickelodeon to the FBI for child sexual abuse on set. Which is like, I don't know how he got here. I don't know what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, I don't either. It's always one thing or the other. Can't fucking cats and fucking kids be bad? It's always like, I don't think you should have sex with Garfield. Oh, yeah? Well, I don't think anyone should have sex with kids. Like, why can't we just agree that both things are not right?
That's an incredibly good point. Nathan wrote back, honestly, in 2019, I did send Jim Davis an email with a report of Garfield's big penis art circulating online.
Garfield's big penis art.
Which, I mean, kind of established that Nathan would have been fine if the penis had been properly proportioned.
Yeah, it was a big penis.
But the idea of like Garfield with like a Odie-sized penis, it was just too much for Nathan.
Perhaps it was, you know, they say human beings have like the longest, you're compared to the body size, humans' dicks go the longest out from their body.
Yeah.
Perhaps he was looking for like a true anatomically correct Garfield, like a little tiny wiener with barbs all over it.
Yeah, and then instead when he saw like a Subway footlong sandwich of a cock on Garfield, he was just like, well, this just won't do because it's not what's in my head when I close my eyes and think of Garfield's penis. Therefore, it's wrong. Therefore, I've got to talk to Jim Davis about this.
This is not my anthro.
So Nathan says, Jim Davis says he is aware of them, them being the Garfield big penis art circulating.
Yeah,
online.
I bet everybody's real aware in this conversation.
And there is nothing he can do. I am passionate about Garfield, so I was very proactive in protecting the brand. He knows. So look, let's put aside the fact that like kind of once you make a cartoon character, like people on the internet are going to, you know, draw it, getting its fuck on. Like that's just kind of like you can't really stop that.
Yeah.
He knew. Jim Davis knew the whole time.
About the Garfield porn?
About Garfield with big penis. He knew Garfield with big penis was out there.
And he did nothing.
And if Jim Davis really cared, he would have gotten in front of a microphone and said, knock it off with the Garfield with big penis. I know I can't make you stop drawing it. I'm asking you as the creator of Garfield, the fun, furry feline who really tips the scales. If you could take this tip from me, Jim Davis, and stop drawing Garfield with like an enormous cock with giant barbs that would like take out anyone's eye. Just knock it off. Stop drawing Garfield's dripping wet cock after it just coomed.
Only Nathan is allowed to do that.
And then I think he would say, now obviously there's only one person who I do allow to do this, and it's Nathan Mathery with an E. He spells Nathan with an E.
Garfield feels safe with him sexually.
Garfield, he's the only one who respects the integrity of Garfield. And of course, Nathan, you keep doing it, but everyone else, knock it off.
Exactly.
Because if Jim Davis had said that, then at least we're all on notice that he doesn't like Garfield with big penis.
Yeah, no. He and Jim Davis, like a coward, never addressed Garfield with big penis.
Yes, exactly. Where do you stand on this? Because we know where Garfield stands with his big penis. He actually can stand his whole body up on it.
I was going to say with his third leg. Yours is better.
Well, I mean, but they were the same thing. You know, they're the same thing. Like, if he doesn't have the bravery to come out and say, knock it off. Knock off what you're doing to Garfield. And then maybe, like, what if he had offered, like, Odie up as, like, a sacrifice and been like, you can draw big cock Odie all you want. In fact, I will sign any license who wants to make, like, big dick Odie mugs, big dick Odie ponchos, big dick Odie above ground pool floats. If you leave Garf alone, you can really mess up Odie.
You know what we should do? We should make Nathan. So remember how those people wanted to make that Dojin soft version of My Little Pony fighting game in Hasbro, put the kibosh on that. So Lauren Faust was like, oh, I'll design you some new non-copyrighted characters that you can use. You know what we should do? We should contact Nathan's dad and be like, hey, can we just draw Nathan some characters that he's free to just fuck with? ad nauseum. Like, he can brand them however. He can make cartoons and podcasts. They can fight fucking Allah or whatever. They would not fight Allah, Abdu'l-Bahá.
They were fighting the devil's influence on Earth so that Allah could, like, they were trying to clear the path for Allah, those Nathfielders.
Yeah, exactly. We'll design those characters and we'll send them off to Nathan. And we'll be like, here you go, Nathan. Here's something you could play with. Please stop buying things.
Look, I have something else that we could sell to Nathan's dad that I actually think might work. Okay, we're going to need Nathan's phone. We swap out Nathan's phone overnight. We get Nathan drunk. We swap out the phone overnight with a new phone. He thinks he's on Instagram. He's posting. And then there's like a computer algorithm that just gives him a shitload of hearts. And a bunch of AI bots comment like, great point, Nathan. Well done, Nathan.
Oh, yeah.
What we do is we create a little digital enclosure, kind of like they did to Moriarty in that one episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, where he thinks he's like getting somewhere and he's like, it's a digital hamster wheel is what we need to make for him. Post all you want about Big Dick Garfield and Superman's gay son. Like, post all you want. Like, make your own character with a magic suit that has magic buttons that make him talk to Allah. The rest of us are safe from him. He's getting all the validation he craves. We get paid because we came up with this idea. Everybody wins.
Yeah, I feel like Nathan's dad is rich enough that here's all you'd need to do is you take Nathan's phone, you log him out of the Garfield Eats and his account, like on everything. And then you log him into like a cloned account that you hire somebody to make. And then you hire like 50 people.
Yes.
You pay them all $1 a day, and all they got to do is like Nathan's, whatever Nathan posted that day, like it and comment on it. Yes. And then everybody gets their dollar that day. It would be really easy. And you just log him out, switch the account, so that way he's posting to his like audience of nobodies. Dead internet theory.
Dead internet theory.
In a cage. Dead internet zoo theory.
This is brilliant. All we got to do is set this whole thing up. We just got to make this thing turnkey. Here's what Nathan's dad does not want to be bothered with. The details.
Right.
We go in there and we go, your son, we know he's causing big problems. We will make a way so that he can't go on the internet anymore. But he thinks he's on the internet and he thinks everyone loves him. That's the whole pitch. That's all we, if we say any more than that, we're shooting past the sail.
We need to put him in that thing. Oh, fuck. What's that movie with the girl from Midsommar, Florence? I don't know how to pronounce her last name.
Florence Pugh?
Pugh. She's in that movie where it turns out that the whole time she's a rich housewife, but then actually the whole thing's in her brain. Because she's got the husband that goes to work at the secret research facility, but what you actually don't realize is when they go to work, they're logging out of the simulation.
Yes.
What's that fucking movie?
Don't Worry, Darling. Yeah, I remember it was like a modern day The Stepford Wives. It was like the Black Mirror of movies.
That's what we need for Nathan. It's like what you do is you put the gadget on them and then they go into like this perfect world. So we just need, in Nathan's perfect world, Nathan is famous and he's like taken seriously. Who could Nathan be? And it's Elon Musk.
Yes.
In his perfect world, Nathan is Elon Musk in the year 2016.
Yes.
Like, everybody still likes him. Everybody thinks he's cool still. Everybody thinks he's smart still. And positive general public opinion. He gets to be on shows like Young Sheldon.
Yes.
I mean, okay, I'm about to say something controversial.
Okay.
Controversial to you, I think.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Nathan gives too much of a shit about Nathfield. Like, it seems like it's something that he's completely forgotten about and he doesn't really care about. Like, I don't think that Nathan really gives a fuck about art. I think what Nathan wants is people to think he's smart. Like, he very much wants people to look at him and be like, wow, you are very intelligent. Like, he wants people to look at him as Donald Trump pre-presidential run. Like, wow, look at this genius businessman. He's very intelligent. That's what he wants. It's interesting because if Nathan were younger and a woman, he would do great on social media. because all he does is sit around and shop all day and like make nothing content, which if he was pretty, like if he was a pretty girl, he could just take selfies all day and get much more rewarded for it instead of as a man, we just make fun of him. He could call himself a stay-at-home daughter. That's a thing. That's a like category of TikTokers is like crazy rich. People are like, I'm a stay-at-home daughter and this is what I do in a day. He could totally have done that. Unfortunately, he's pushing 40. He used to be the youngest in the room. Now he's got the youngest energy. He switched his branding. I'm not kidding.
No, I believe you.
He can't hide it anymore.
Look, I wanted to say one more thing about Nathfield. I think you're absolutely right. I think I care more about Nathfield and Nathfield canon and Nathfield lore than Nathan does. I think that's a really good point.
I do too.
It seems like Nathfield and Iggy's are kind of diametrically at cross purposes. Because Iggy's is all about protecting licensors and stopping knockoffs. But Nathfield is an unlicensed knockoff of Garfield.
Well, if we look at the Sonichu case law, that is a true and original character. If you mix multiple characters together, the preceding character, as we know, is true and honest and original. So no, that's not copyright infringement, actually.
Okay, I understand about parody law and like the 15% rule where it's like if it's different enough and it's clear. But all I'm saying is like, I don't know that I would hire Iggy's to protect my license, when one hand is saying they'll protect my license and the other hand is drawing this Fugazi Garfield and like hiring voice actors and making a podcast about it.
It's kind of boring because when Nathan's in Dubai, he doesn't post very much and he doesn't post crazy shit.
Is it that Nathan has gotten less crazy or is it that the rest of the internet is finally as crazy as Nathan?
It could be both.
It could be both.
Someone the world did end for during the eclipse, though, and it's the chickens that were in the path of total darkness. I saw a video today of the chickens, like, it's becoming darker, it's becoming darker, and they think it's nighttime, so they all, it's a time lapse, and they all run in the coop, and then the eclipse end, and they're so confused, they just run out, and they're all just racing around.
That's fucking adorable, oh my god!
So dumb.
I love it! Oh my goodness! Now, Rancho, the other day we were at a Barnes & Noble. There's a new Barnes & Noble in our town.
Yeah, Barnes & Noble, kids. You believe that? It's the year of our Lord, 2024, and bookstores still exist. Not Borders, though, just Barnes & Noble.
No, and it's weird that they made a new Barnes & Noble. It's like, I thought we were just kind of trying to protect the ones we had left.
Yeah, you know, there's Books and More.
Books a Million.
Is Books a Million still around?
I think it is in Florida.
Oh, man, I can't wait to go to Florida and see Books a Million. I love Books a Million. Now, that's a really good bookstore.
Why do you prefer Books a Million?
It's very, you know, now that I think about it, this might more be a feature of Florida than of Books a Million, yeah. But it's just sprawling.
Yeah,
it's gigantic. It's like a public library sized bookstore. But then again, in Florida, everything is a public library sized everything is Walmart.
Yes.
On some level in Florida. Like it's just got a dusting of Walmart over it. You know what I'm saying?
It's a big swamp down there. They're just like, sure. Build it as big as you want. The rent is still $8.
Have you seen that tweet that somebody made that's like a giant cutout of Florida and it's just a big circle of the Everglades and says, why is there no housing here? And somebody's like, did you see the part where it says Everglades National Park?
Okay, first off, we are so far away from why I brought up that there's a Barnes & Noble now.
Fucking love Florida.
Okay, but now you're making me talk about the Everglades, which of course brings me to fan boats. In the 80s, every action movie had a fan boat chase.
What's that?
When I say fan boat, what do you imagine?
Like down on the bayou, there's a boat and it's got a giant, like, literal caged fan.
Yes.
And then they ride that through the swamp.
It's like 8 times the size of the people inside it. Oh, I saw so many fan boats chasing the police academy 6 cents an hour. But anyway, so we're in our brand new small town, Barnes & Noble. And there's a book on the shelf. It says The Big Bang Theory, Big Bang Book of Lists. Rancho's like, can we buy this using like the show's Patreon money? And I'm like, absolutely, of course we can. But you've got to use this book one time for one segment, or you have to pay the Patreon back the money. I'm like, this can't just be a book for Sir Andrew. You have to turn this into content.
Yeah, and it turns out I have to pay you.
Wait, what? Money
because I literally could. It's such a bad fucking book, Asterios. It's so bad. I went through and I looked at it, and it's just like jokes from the show relisted. It's like exceptionally bad. It was. If you told me that thing was written by ChatGPT, I would not be surprised.
Can you just read us one? Just turn to any random page for this book. And again, not even for entertainment purposes. Sorry, listeners. Just for our taxes.
Bazinga, one sec. Okay, here's a perfect example. I just opened the book to, this is about in the center. This is the Big Bang Theory Book of Lists. Yeah. Ready, Tax Man? I'm reviewing this book right now.
Thank you for holding it up to the IRS agents.
Tax Man, look. Tax Man and a Zhao Hongshu agent. Yeah. Look.
Hey.
So this page is titled Emily or Cinnamon. In the anxiety optimization, Howard invents a new...
By the way, the anxiety optimization... is the episode.
Oh my God, it's almost like I'm about to describe exactly what it is.
But here's the thing. I want the listeners to know that I know what it is.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's the episode where Sheldon is trying to like think of like a new quantum theory. So he realizes that like if he keeps his brain like stressed out and anxious the whole time, it'll like help him create like science knowledge. And so he has Amy hook him up to like a helmet and then play like monkey screaming sounds.
I can't fucking believe you interrupted my goddamn sentence to say that.
It's important that people know that I know the Big Bang Theory.
Why in the fuck could you not wait until I finished reading and then you say, oh, and hey, did you know that that's also the episode where Sheldon XYZ? Why did you interrupt me mid-sentence?
Because if you had read the sentence, then I don't get as much credit. The fact that I know the anxiety optimization, who knows the name of the Big Bang Theory episodes except Asterios, Greg Kokonos?
You know, sometimes you start talking about things and I know what you're talking about and I don't actually cut you off in the middle of your fucking sentence to prove that I know what you're talking about.
Well, then I guess it's not nearly as important for you that people know that you know about TV because that is my entire raison d'etre. That's my whole, the core of my being is trivia. Without it, I'm nothing.
Okay, can I finish this fucking paragraph from this book that you're insisting that I use for tax purposes? Can I get through the 2-sentence paragraph, please?
Please do.
In the anxiety optimization, Howard invents a new game. He offers a quote, and everyone is supposed to guess whether Raj said it to his girlfriend, Emily, or his dog, Cinnamon. So I'm going to read you a sentence, and you go ahead and guess, okay? And I think these are literally pulled straight from the episode. Like, I think these are the same examples that they use in the show. So it's not even like they could come up with extra things because these sound familiar. Ready?
Okay.
I want you to know that the bed seems lonely without you in it.
Okay, that's, he says that to the dog.
That's the dog, right?
Yeah.
Check it out. I got us matching sweaters.
Okay. He says that to the dog.
That's also the dog.
Yeah. Okay.
You're so lucky. You have the shiniest hair.
Now, I'm going to say he says that to Emily, the redheaded scientist who hates Penny. And the reason is because in the season 4 finale, an incredibly drunk Penny tries to give Raj
a hand job, but then he comes before she's able to touch him.
We're in the magic minute. I wasn't going to say that, the HJ word.
Do you like that? Do you like that when I just cut you off mid-sentence to finish what you were talking about?
I was going to say a trip to second base because we're in the magic minute. And when you say things like that, it demonetizes
us. I've been talking about dogs for way more than 1 minute.
We're within the magic. Here, you want me to pull up the magic timer?
I've been talking about Books A Million and Florida and the Everglades for way more than 1 minute.
Okay, but I don't think you understand what makes the minute so magic.
I really truly don't.
All right, well, okay, so let's keep going with the list.
Okay, it's just so perfect that we're both Libras.
Says it to the dog.
No, that's the girlfriend. And the last one, how can such a little girl eat such a big steak?
Says it to the dog.
It doesn't tell you. It just says question mark. I don't know what the fuck that means, because I think the episode ends on that joke.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't figure it out.
Hey, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
It's really important, like, for me and, like, kind of for my sense of self that, like, people think I'm good at trivia. So could we go back and could I redo that question that I got wrong and then I can just fix it in editing?
Okay.
All right.
You got all of them wrong.
No, I got all of them right except for one.
No, you got... Oh, wait, did you?
Were you not paying attention to my answers?
No, you said for the... Oh, wait, okay, I found the one that you got wrong. You're so lucky. You have the shiniest hair.
Well, he says that to Emily.
Oh, that's the dog.
He says that to the dog?
Yeah, according to this book.
Okay, can you agree with me that that would be much funnier if he said it to the girl?
Yeah, because who calls a dog's hair hair? It's fur.
Yeah, exactly.
Dogs have fur.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, well, but look, when you talk about who has a shiny coat, you're talking about a dog. So it's funny when you talk about the shiny coat of a human. But he was actually talking to the dog, right?
Yes.
Okay, so... Listen, I'm going to have to put aside kind of my comedy logic for this, because my answer is what should be correct. It's wrong, I guess, because they wrote the wrong joke. So give me the question again.
This is not even a question.
Sure.
You're so lucky. You have the shiniest hair.
Okay. Did he say that to the dog or to the human? I mean, it's only funny if he said it to the human. So he says it to Emily.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
He says it to the dog?
It's the dog.
All right, ask me one more time, because I need a version of me getting this right.
You're so lucky. You have the shiniest hair.
Okay. Now, you would think he said that to the human, because it's like a fun, like, zigzag thing, where it's like you think it's he zigged, but he zagged. But this is a rare case of the Big Bang Theory just zigging. He says it to the dog.
That's correct.
Oh, I knew it! That's 5 for 5, or it will be when I get this next one right. And now he got that for editing. Okay, good. You can't say we didn't use this book, IRS.
Yeah, we sure did. We sure did. And now I don't need to pay you for it.
All right, give me the. All right, I'm going to turn to a random page this book. I feel like you're not giving this book the due it deserves.
It's real dog shit.
From Bazinga to Zazzles, this comprehensive guide is packed with quotes and trivia from all 12 seasons. Now, notice they didn't start with a word to begin with A, like aerospace.
And while everybody skips this section, write me a letter and tell me what type of gravity bong I should buy.
You know, astronaut would have been good, because you remember Howard Goes to Space. It could have been from astronaut to Zazzles. I think they just wanted to get the word Bazinga in here. But it's not from B to Z. It's from A to Z. Am I wrong?
They should have said astronaut to Bazinga and from whatever Y word they could come up with to Z.
And from Yaddle to Zazzles. That's what they could have said.
Okay, perfect.
You know who Yaddle is?
No.
You don't know about the sexy female Yoda?
No.
Yaddle?
Well, how on earth would I know that?
How could you not? There's a sexy female Yoda.
Is that common knowledge? Like, if you, I'm asking you, serious to God, like, no irony, no bullshit right now. If you went up to a random person on the street, and I know you, if you said, like, do you know who Master Yoda is? Most people would say yes. If you asked who this person is, would they say yes?
Well, what are they wearing?
Just answer the question.
I mean, but I just need to know a little bit more
about this
person. I said
no bullshit. You're bullshitting me right now.
I'm just asking for a little help.
You're not.
I have.
You don't want to answer because the answer's no.
Just
understood.
Tell me what they're wearing.
You don't want to answer because the answer's no.
Okay, listen. Let's say they're wearing like a polo shirt. How about this? I'm going to try to paint like a finance bro, okay?
Okay.
Wouldn't that, I mean, that's kind of what you're looking for here. Okay, so they're wearing like khaki pants, a polo shirt. Let's say they're wearing like their golfing gloves.
Okay, it's 1980.
They're wearing their golfing gloves. They're wearing like a green visor. And they got like a big cell phone, like one of those like big brick cell phones.
1987.
All right, and now ask them the question.
What did they say this to, sir? His dog or his girlfriend? You have a shiny coat.
Okay, and they would say,
well, gotta be talking to a dog, right? I mean, you dog got a shiny coat. Gotta be talking to a dog.
I would say, no, what if I told you Raj was saying this about your mom?
I mean, I think the question was actually, do you know who Yaddle is?
It's 1987. Nobody knows who Yaddle is. I don't think Star Wars came out yet. When did Star Wars come out?
1979.
Oh, damn.
Actually, 1977.
Okay, 1977. So when did, like, the... But they were all made within a couple years, right?
Yeah, 77, 79, and 83.
Oh, okay. So this guy would know about Yadat. So does he? Excuse me, sir. Do you know about Yadat?
He goes... Who? Yadat?
Yeah.
And then you look down at your piece of paper, you'll notice the paper actually says Yaddle.
Yaddle. I apologize. Yaddle.
Okay. Oh, you mean the sexy female Yoda? Well, of course I do, because you didn't check his Bombas socks. He's got socks with the lightsabers on it. He's secretly a Star Wars fan, this guy. That's why I was asking if you knew what he was wearing.
I think this is some dumb shit you made up, or it's in like one scene of a comic book nobody's read.
Okay, well... Look, if you're asking how much screen time does Yaddle have?
Does it have screen time in one of the actual canonical movies, not straight to DVD Christmas special?
If you're asking how much screen time Yaddle has, I mean, it's about 4 seconds.
Okay, awesome. That's all I needed to know. Wrap it up, folks.
Okay, but if you're asking, does she have incredible adventures in the comic books, which you mentioned... Yeah, it was all over them comics.
Yeah, the comics that nobody reads, I bet she is.
Okay. All right, listen. I'm going to show you how easy it would be to turn this into content, okay? This book. Big the Bang Theory Book of Lists. All right, I'm going to turn to any page.
This is now a sponsorship, IRS.
Okay, this is incredible. I just turned to a random page. It's also about Emily.
Oh, awesome.
Emily Sweeney, dermatologist. I wonder if this book just goes really hard on those three episodes where Raj dated Emily.
In another timeline, I'm also a dermatologist. I'm obsessed with those videos of people like scraping fungus off themselves.
What?
Have you never seen those?
People are scraping fungus off themselves?
Oh yeah, that's a new category I'm into now. I used to just be into like pimple popping, but now I'm into like severe athlete's foot that's like eaten through people's skin. That's more of a podiatrist thing, but sometimes the dermatologist handles it if it's on your face.
Okay, you know what? It's really just an episode guide.
It's so fucking bad, right? Like, they put no thought into this.
I looked at like 15 different pages of this thing, and I was like, is there anything here I can turn into content? No, it's just kind of like, here are all the episodes where Howard talked about his childhood. And so they're like, so you, as you can see, we've kind of built this like timeline of Howard's childhood based on like these little anecdotes from the show.
Yeah, it's just about like a book of quotes from the show in a weird, nonsensical order.
Yes. All right, look, I'm going to turn to just a random page. Here we go. Okay. The boyfriend observation. Penny has a storied dating history, coupling with Lunks, Hunks, and Leonard. Even though she would eventually settle down with Leonard, Penny has had many different dates over the years. Did you know that in the episode The Nirvana Annihilation, Penny broke up with Mike after Mike blocked about them having sex?
If I watched that episode, I would probably know that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's 1 point for me. You didn't know that episode. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How about
one
this?
1 point for the book, I guess.
Penny dates Zach, the guy who designs the menus at the Cheesecake Factory. In the Einstein approximation or the lunar excitation.
Wow, Penny dates the guy who designs the menu. I imagine he's pretty high up, right? Like graphic design wise for the Cheesecake Factory. That menu has like 27 pages. I imagine it's like the Golden Gate Bridge. Like, you know how they start painting it at the beginning of the year and then by the time they're at the other end, it's time to paint it again. It's the same thing with the Cheesecake Factory. Like when they get done redesigning every single page of the Cheesecake Factory menu, it takes so long that as soon as he's done, he has to start the 2032 Cheesecake Factory menu redesign.
I definitely would agree with you, except, and you should know this, their Cheesecake Factory does not hew to the grander Cheesecake Factory's corporate template.
Yeah.
They don't use the style guide of the greater Cheesecake Factory because, as you know, all the uniforms are different.
That's how we know that the Big Bang Theory takes place in an alternate timeline where the Cheesecake Factory is a looser franchise.
Yes. Exactly. Where anyone can just like open up a Cheesecake Factory and make the inside looks like whatever they want. Because the inside of the Cheesecake Factory, the Big Bang Theory, looks like no Cheesecake Factory I've ever been to. It looks like an airport restaurant in there. Like, it's very dark. There's just like weird half columns up for no reason.
Yeah, it looks like TGI Fridays.
It looks a lot like TGI Fridays. So my guess is that Zach designed the Cheesecake Factory menus for their specific Cheesecake Factory. So it's like the owner's nephew.
Oh, okay. So it'd be like the franchise owner's nephew. I believe that.
Well, you were wrong. The episode was the Lunar Excitation.
Well, fuck.
Okay. And then finally, one more. Penny goes on a date with Eric. He's a hunk that Penny dates and ends up in an awkward kiss length contest against Leonard and Leslie Winkle. Was that in the Tangerine Factor, the Nirvana Annihilation, or the Codpiece Topology?
I can't believe we watched every episode of this show. It's such dog shit. Like, it's been dog shit for such a long time. Too. Like, we watched that way past when any self-respect... I mean, no one with self-respect should be watching it, period, amen. But we should have stopped way earlier.
Okay, the answer was the Codpiece Topology. So again, you got that wrong.
Yeah, the codfish, whatever. I don't care.
There we go. Can we throw this book out now?
Yeah, let's make it firewood. It will burn its way into our heart, and then the IRS will pay for it.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Well, hey, listeners, we did it. And by listeners, I mean listeners at the IRS. We did it.
I love you.
We'll be right back after this.
Bye.
More of the Last Podcast.
Fuck sickos, fuck suicide.
Rancho, remember like a couple of months ago, you started bringing in clips of this one guy named King Cobra JFS.
I sure do.
Yeah. A lot of our listeners were like, we don't want to hear about King Cobra because everybody talks about King Cobra.
Understandable.
Yeah. Apparently, just like half of YouTube now is just people in front of a microphone in a hoodie with a beard talking about what King Cobra did last night.
Yeah, man, I hate it when I turn on like a Cobra recap because I'm, unlike Cobra rules my six-head life, I have to live that wagey and a cagey, ragey life. So I can't be up at like 1 a.m. watching him drunkenly fall over as he struggles to open the door for the cops. So I rely on these channels that like clip his shit and compact it together because he deletes everything.
Yeah.
But man, if I click on one and I hear, hey guys, I immediately close out. It's like, don't put your fucking voice in it. If you want to do like Cobra recap shit, put like funny comments from the chat. Don't put your fucking fat voice in it.
It makes me so angry because King Cobra, his face is huge in the thumbnail. I don't see a guy in front of a fucking snowball, blue Yeti mic in the thumbnail. And then I hit play on it, and it's a guy going like, how's it going, everybody? Take a look at my Patreon. It's the Cobra recap. All right, anyway. So, like, you start bringing King Cobra, and I remember those episodes. I remember being like, Rancho, this depresses me. I don't like watching this guy. I like how interested you are in watching this guy.
I sure am. I study him.
I have pulled such a fucking 180. Now, he is not only all I watch, he is what we regularly fall asleep to on our bedroom television, true or false.
Oh, very true. Yeah, Cobra is fantastic to fall asleep to. Listener, I was reading this article by the New York Times recently that was about how adults who suffer from insomnia, sometimes they can find relief from some of their symptoms by listening to audiobooks because the cadence of the audiobook, like the author's voice, is very monotone and flatline, which is exactly how Cobra sounds when he's like six beers deep. He's like, hey YouTube, I may where you make a drink combo, Jessica threw up in the bathtub. Like, that's the same cadence as this is the Prairie Home Companion to me.
Yes. And the other thing about King Cobra is that he is constantly repeating himself because he's so drunk he doesn't remember that he like just said the thing he said. So it's like a Shaggy Dog story to fall asleep to. He'll be like, The KFC, they took away the double down. That's a shame. The double down's gone. KFC took it away.
Yes.
That's a shame. It's a real shame. Did you hear about this or see this? The double down is gone. It's a real shit. And every time he says it, he's acting like he is just coming up with it.
It's great. It's like an extreme version of, do you have a TV show in your life that you've watched so many times that you know exactly what's going to happen in every episode? It's like that, but all the content is new. It's like, the content is new. I've never seen it before, but I know exactly what's going to happen in it.
It's so strange. I've never pulled a harder U-turn on anyone in my life. Now, we will be in situations where, like, I'll be in the bedroom working and King Cobra will be Chromecasted on the TV. Rancho will be in the living room watching a different King Cobra clip and working on her laptop. And then we get together at night and we fall asleep to a third King Cobra thing. It's getting to the point where I am really considering getting YouTube Premium. Because the commercials are starting to, like, get into my dreams.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You ever notice that thing that, like, YouTube does where they'll just play a commercial that's, like, 46 minutes long and it's just, like, someone's real estate book?
Yeah, absolutely fuck YouTube for adding that. You remember when we used to get pissed off because YouTube had, like, one ad every three videos and people thought that was excessive? Now the burden is on you to click away from it. That makes me so fucking mad. Have you ever seen that dystopian patent thing that gets posted on 4chan every so often? Oh, that wow. It's like an Amazon-branded TV. And it's like the watcher has to say the name of the product that they just said to get the ad to end. To me, there is no functional difference between that thing posted to 4chan and having to click out of a 45-minute ad or suffer through someone's entire real estate scam.
Yeah. And look, a lot of my dreams lately have been taken up by, like, buying a starter property, then leveraging it to buy another starter property.
We can't lose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, these people's rent are paying my mortgage, according to these dreams I'm having. All right. But anyway, so it's like, I feel like I like King Cobra on a completely different level than other people do. I feel like there's a lot of people on YouTube who are making all their money being like, this guy's stupid. Look at this idiot. Say dumb things and be stupid. Me, I'm like, that's me on TV. That's me. The stuff he said, every couple of months he gives the same exact, like, 14-minute long speech about quitting drinking.
I feel the exact same way as you a lot. Like, sometimes that's part of the reason why I like lolcows, I think, is because, you know, what really makes you cringe is, like, things that resonate within you. It's like, I watch Cobra and I think to myself, this could so easily be me. Like, what's the difference between you and him? That he live streams himself and you just get drunk by yourself? The comfort of your room. Like, fuck you, dude. You're just as bad as him. Like, that's what stops me from drinking a lot of the time.
Yeah, me too, because it's like, I'm watching this guy. Every 3 or 4 months, he goes like, I really overdid it yesterday. I got so drunk on live stream that I fell asleep on live stream. He always says, it's not a good look. Like, I've heard him say, like, it's not a good look, Tubes, like 8 times. And then he goes, well, I'm definitely not going to stop drinking because I really love drinking. It's fun, but I'm going to be cutting back. You know, I'm going to maybe keep it to just 5 or 6 drinks. He always has the same fictional number of drinks that is lower than the drinks he will do. And he'll always say, like, and then maybe I'll go a couple of days between drinking. Like, I don't need to do it every day. He gives the, and it's the same speech I give to myself after I've relapsed. I'm always like, that's it, Asterios. No more of this. Remember how much pain you're in. Remember how much you didn't really enjoy it in the first place. That was it. That was your last relapse, and it's never going to happen again.
And then next week, we'll repeat the loop again.
Yes. He's us. He's like all of us. And then his new girlfriend is worse.
Oh, yeah. His new girlfriend's awful. I watch her, too, sometimes because I'm like, hey, this could also be you if you just started huffing duster, I guess.
The thing that you are always afraid of, like, King Cobra's new girlfriend will just, like, directly say, like, you are not paying attention to me. I'm begging for attention. All I want is a little attention. Like, King Cobra's girlfriend will like call him like 14 times in a row until he picks up and like pays attention to her. You're always afraid that's you. Like, you have a thing about this girl and attention.
Yeah, it's cringe. I feel like I'm cringe, too. So eager. You can't be that eager. And it's very cringe to watch it play out. It's like, oh, that's what you look like if you're too eager. So, listener, if you're too eager and you're texting girls too much, or you think you just got to watch this girl call King Cobra while he's trying to stream with Courtney 12 consecutive times. Be like, imagine that your crush is Josh. And she's getting the call like, oh my God, this guy's calling me again. And just imagine that's you. You got to use it to your advantage. Play it cool.
There's nothing we can learn from Chris Chan. There's nothing we can learn from Nathan.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can learn from so many of these people. King Cobra is us. King Cobra's girlfriend is us. These are like flawed, terrifyingly needy idiots. Like me, Asterios Koganos. That is it for our show. Thank you all so much for listening to me and Sarantia on the Loudest Podcast. We had a new Christory that went up last week. That was fantastic. We got a new episode of Dark Side Jills that is being edited right now as I'm talking to you.
And if you love Cobra content, then this one you're going to like.
Yes, you and Nico do a deep dive into King Cobra's disgusting new girlfriend, Queen Cobra.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
This is disturbing.
It is.
This episode of Dark Side Jills is one that you will not want to be. It is genuinely disturbing, and you will love it, listeners. And you can hear every episode of Dark Side Jills, every episode of Lime with the Coconuts, every episode of Christory, and all of our bonus episodes. We just uploaded our 180th bonus episode for just $2. Patreon.com/Asterios. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye. Fuck psychos, fuck suicide.